I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Healy's away. Australia are away.
Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanny.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Jonathan strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catch is taken by Perry.
The Australian women's cricket team win their fifth T20 World Cup title in front of a magical crowd at the MCG.
Welcome back to The Scoop. We are the cricket podcast dedicated to the women's game. Now, despite all the uncertainty we've had with border closures and the rest, we're hopefully edging closer to seeing the girls back on the cricket field very soon. So on top of the domestic cricket we're expecting to kick off this month, as of this week, we've also got some international cricket back on the horizon.
We sure do. New Zealand cricket have announced they'll be hosting Australia for 3 T20s and 3 ODIs in March and April, kicking off on March 28. And this is just a huge series for Australia, not only a chance to play again for the first time since October, but also a chance for a lot of players who haven't been to New Zealand before to get some experience over there a year out from the World Cup.
Yeah, it's going to be massive. So we're expecting an Aussie squad to be named probably in the next month. LJ, you spoke to head coach Matthew Mott at the end of the WBBL season, and he hinted that there could be some surprise packets in that squad.
He did, which was interesting because you can't think there's too much change you could possibly make to a team that's won 21 ODIs in a row, but he did say that they're going over to New Zealand. It's a year out from a World Cup, and they'd be kicking themselves if they had a hunch about a player who could be effective over there and they didn't go and try them out. And I think you could expect them to take another big squad of 17 or 18 over there because of the quarantine. So it's going to be very interesting to see who gets a run.
Yeah, there's certainly lots to look forward to. And in good news for Aussie fans who are keen to watch that series, it will be broadcast on Foxtel and KO Sports. And our guest for today is a little different to what we usually have. So we spend so much time chatting to and talking about the amazing women who play this game. But this episode, we're chatting to match official Claire Polisak, who's made headlines and history this week, hasn't she, LJ?
Yep, Claire became the first woman to ever officiate in a men's test match in the New Year's Test at the SCG. She's been a trailblazer for years now, paving the way to get more women involved in the game through umpiring.
Here's Claire. Now we are joined today by Claire Polisak, who this week made history by becoming the first woman to umpire a men's test match in Sydney. Now, Claire, thank you for joining us on the Scoop podcast today. Firstly, are you able to tell us how cricket came into your life? Like, are you a lifelong fan, and did you used to play the game yourself?
Yeah, no, look, thanks for having me, guys. I've never played cricket. I grew up in Goulburn, which is sort of halfway between Sydney and Canberra, and there wasn't any girls cricket, and I was, I guess, too scared to play with the boys. I know that lots of girls did, but I just wasn't interested in playing with the boys, and none of my friends were interested in playing with the boys. So I followed it from a distance. Every year we'd come up to the Sydney Test, and that was our summer family holiday. And so I followed it. Yeah, and followed it from a distance. Had the Australian player, the men's players on my wall, growing up in, and it was just loved it, followed it, but just never had the opportunity to play really.
So, how did you find yourself in the umpiring system then?
Yeah, well, when I was about 15 or 16, a friend came to school with a flyer, and it was advertising the umpiring course. And so I was like, she said to me, her dad says, oh, you like cricket, you'll give this a go. And so I'm, all right, I'll try this. So my dad would finish school in Goulburn. He was a teacher, so he'd finish work in Goulburn. And then at that stage, the courses were only held at the SCG. So you'd drive from Goulburn to Sydney for the course. The course runs over 5 nights plus an exam. So my poor father would do that for me. And then I failed the exam a number of times. I think maybe at least two, potentially three times as well. But being 15, never played cricket, it sort of didn't help. But every time I did the assessment, I got a little bit better. So I can't really tell you why, but it was just something I was determined to do. So I think I'm lucky that my dad didn't say, you know what, you've tried enough. Let's find something else for you to do. So I started umpiring in men's club cricket in Goulburn. And then when I moved to Sydney for university, I started in the men's grade competition in 2008. And since then, I've just sort of worked my way a little bit higher as we've come through. So enjoying the ride, that's for sure.
Amazing. I bet. So when you were a 15-year-old girl doing the umpiring course, I bet there weren't many other 15-year-old girls.
Yeah, there were none. lots of older white males. And I think the face of umpiring is definitely changing, at least my experience in Sydney. We've got a much more of a range of diverse people that are umpiring now, which is great to see.
Awesome. Well, yeah, you're definitely leading the charge there. And so, Claire, you were the fourth umpire in the New Year's Test at the SCG, making you the first woman to officiate a men's test match, which was a pretty widely celebrated achievement, as it should be. So tell us about what that milestone meant to you and how you found out and how you found the day.
Yeah, I think it really sums up what 2020, we just don't know what's going to be thrown at us. It was just a bit of discussion with Sean Easy, our match officials manager of Cricket Australia, about knowing that there was travel restrictions for other people, and we'll just sort of be in conversations with him about if it'd be possible. And then every time we had to fill in a lot of medical questions about where we'd been and what activities we'd been doing. And I'd already been in lockdown for where I live. And then every time an email came back with another question to answer, I was like, oh, hang on. They're not saying no yet. And it just, every email came back with, oh, can you just answer this question? Can you just answer this question? And so, you know, I was able to jump through the hoops from that side of things. Finally got the confirmation from the ICC and entered the Men's International Hub with a bunch of great guys. The team is fantastic. Really lucky to be working with them. So.
And how was the day? How was the first day?
First day was a bit of weather around. I think they got maybe 7 overs in before we had a lengthy rain delay. So for those who aren't aware, the fourth umpire, the role is really about supporting the on-field umpires and making sure they can just concentrate on what they're doing. And a big part of that is managing ground weather and light and monitoring the conditions outside and dealing with the ground staff and other stakeholders to try and maximise play. So it was definitely a busy couple of days first up until the rain disappeared for us, but it was good. It was a really good experience.
And put us in the shoes of a match official on a day of a men's test match. What's the routine like and what are some of the challenges and what's going through your mind?
Yeah, so it started early because the fourth umpire is there before the main umpires, and we're also there before players get there to make sure that the everything is right and right to go. And then so it's got there. Our DRS technician also looks after our communications. And so he wires us up with the radio. And then we're pushed out onto the middle of the field pretty much to guard the pitch, make sure there's no players on it before the game starts. And then once the toss has happened, we take the new balls to the bowling team and they get to choose their two balls that they want. And then it's all about anticipating and trying to be one step ahead of the game, I guess, to make sure it's as smooth as possible for the main umpires. So an example of that would be making sure the new ball's ready at the 80th over, which I know there might have been an issue about in the Melbourne test match, but that's caused us a bit faster. Just being aware of that, those sort of game situations, letting the players know when drinks are and to keep the game running as smoothly as possible. So I guess my initial thought was, I need to make sure I don't miss anything for the player, for the umpires. I don't want to add to their stresses of the game. So that was what was primarily in my thought processes, was how can I help them do the best that they can.
And what is, like, to you, what do you find are the biggest challenges with umpires, and like, do you get nervous before you walk out to umpire a match?
I think nerves are good, because nerves mean that you care about what you do, and they mean that you care about wanting to do well. So for me, I try and imagine nerves. So I get nerves whenever I go out onto the field. It doesn't matter if it's a club game or a men's game or a women's game, it doesn't matter. I try and imagine the butterflies in my tummy are all flying in the same direction. And so the way that we get them flying in the one direction is to make sure that we prepare as well as we possibly can. So, you know, we read the play conditions, we've had a good night's sleep, hydrate well, and then, you know, each one of those little butterflies starts going the same direction, which means that umpires are going to make mistakes, just like mistakes, but what can we learn from them and what can we do to try and minimize them where we can?
That's really cool. So what sort of preparation can you do for a game before you're out there?
Yeah, so I guess fourth umpire is a little bit different because fourth umpire is a little bit different, but for a normal match of on field or third umpire, it's the hydration leading into the game, the few days beforehand, eating well. If available, head down to the nets and do a session with the teams, especially when you haven't seen those teams before, or if there's new players that you've not met. And often that's a really good relationship building opportunity. Umpiring is, you've got your ins and your outs, but so much of it is match management, communication. So building relationships is really important. So, if possible, net session before the game. The day before the game, we do a venue inspection at matches. And then making sure everything is ready. The balls are there. The stumps are there. The sight screens are put up properly. Meet with the match manager and maybe broadcast, depending on the type of game. And then the morning of the match, I like to have poached eggs on toast, if possible. When we get to the ground, get there nice and early. And we actually, just like the batters take guard for themselves, we also take guard behind the stumps. And so we get our partner mark that for us. And if you're ever at a game early enough, you might notice that the two umpires, the way that we decide what end we're going to start at is that we toss the bail, and whichever end is the longer end, that's the end that the taller umpire goes to. So you've got to be at a ground early, but if two umpires standing back to back, that's because they're trying to work out who's going to be taller before we throw the bail to toss the bail for ends. So there's a couple other little things for preparation there. It's a different sort of beast, really.
Crazy. Do they do that around the world, the flipping the bail and working out the height?
100%. 100%. It's a pretty well, a pretty strong umpiring tradition, I guess.
Yeah, nice. I guess, there are so many things that, like, most fans don't sort of know about umpiring. What are some of the personality traits and the qualities that you need to be a successful umpire?
Yeah, I think being a good communicator is definitely up there, because you can make a fantastic decision, absolutely great decision, and then ruin it with a poor explanation. So you need to be able to communicate that way, and then also dealing with the players and when there's some tense situations, that match management, I guess, as well, is really important. You do need to know the laws and the playing conditions of the match that you're involved in. Conflict resolution skills, and then also being calm and composed under pressure, I think would also be really important. And there, what's really, I get really excited about umpiring, I'm really sorry, what's really important about those sort of skills is that they're transferable to other aspects of life as well. So it's something that when in my day job with Cricket New South Wales and talking to younger girls or younger people about umpiring, try and sell that to them about how they can develop these other skills. And it's a lot nicer to earn some money umpiring on a Saturday than flipping burgers, in my personal opinion. It's just a nicer way to do it.
Absolutely. And when you started out umpiring, did you know that was something you could make a career out of? You were a school teacher, I think, originally?
Yeah. If you'd have told 16-year-old Claire that by the time she was 32, she would have travelled overseas 10 or 11 times for cricket, she'd be like, no way, that's not going to happen. So I've been really lucky in the opportunities I've gotten. As you said, Laura, I was a school teacher. It was different. And a lot of umpires around the country have this same problem with managing expectations of work and then also trying to umpire and trying to work their way out the pathway. As I'm sure lots of players, it wouldn't be too dissimilar, I imagine, to players who are on the fringe of in their states. And it came, school was fantastic. They were really, really supportive of my umpiring. But there was one term four where I had 1 5-day week at school. And so it just sort of got to the point where, like, school's like, look, we like your umpiring, but we just sort of need you in the class. Yeah, you know what, that's fair enough. I completely understand that. And so at the time, I was also approached by Cricket New South Wales for an umpire educator female engagement role, part-time, 3 days a week with them. I was like, well, year nine boys and Bunsen burners or teaching people how to be an umpire. I'm like, let's, I know it's an easy decision really to me. So I've been there. Yeah. I've been there since 2016 and just absolutely loving the role with them. And then when I am doing in winter, when it's a little bit quieter, I do some casual teaching on the side. So I love teaching. So now I'm just doing a different sort of teaching really.
How good. And so obviously right now you're a trailblazer, living the dream, officiating men's test matches. Was there ever a point, if you think back to the early stages of your career, where you faced any resistance from people around the sport for you being a female umpire, just because it wasn't quite the norm?
Yeah, I think I genuinely think I've been lucky. There have been minor experiences, and this is an example when I first started out in Goulburn, and I was umpiring and a friend was driving past and she stopped to watch the game. And we came off the field and she went, did you realise that when the players appealed at your end, they were appealing a lot louder than they were to your partner? And being on field, I hadn't actually noticed that there. And then I think with being in Sydney, I moved through the system quite slowly initially, I guess. I took a long time to get to third grade and then a few, to get to second grade and first grade. So I sort of... you get to know the players and you sort of move up the grades at the same rate as the players. So there's been games where I've, in first grade men's, but you saw the player 5 years ago in third grade. So that helps again with relationships. And I don't think players care if you're male or female, as long as you do your best at getting the decisions right. Cause that doesn't matter if it's a test match or if it's, an under 12s match, the players want test match level umpires. And so it's just about, I think, doing the best you can and being a genuine person is what the players can sniff out. They can sniff out a fake straight away, I think, or someone who doesn't want to be there. In fact, one of the Indian players the other day, he said, oh, you're always smiling. And I said, yeah, I enjoy what I do. And he's like, yeah, no, you should enjoy what you do. So it's they want to know that you want to be there, I think, at any level of cricket.
Yeah, and were you very much the only female umpire when you first started out in men's cricket? Were people a bit surprised to see you?
Yeah, I think so. Sometimes you would walk off the field of play. I've got a couple of scenarios that pop into my head when you say that. Walk off the field of play, take off your hat, and like, oh, I didn't realise that there was a female out there. I was like, or you get to grounds and like, oh, we're going to have to open up the female toilets. And yeah, I would appreciate if you could open up the female toilets for me. And I mean, I've had, in 12 years of umpiring, I can only think of one umpire who has not been as welcoming. So it was when I rocked up for my second year, second season in Sydney, and he sort of looked me up and down and he said, oh, you're back again, are you? I was like, yeah. What's your problem? He's like, oh, you can't do this as long as I can. I went, well, we'll see about that. And to his credit, he is still umpiring, so he's been going a while. But he's, it's everyone else though. It has been fantastic. I've not had any other experiences that to my face anyway, and the same, players or umpires to my back doesn't bother me at all.
Well, I bet that guy's not umpiring international test matches.
No, he's not.
There you go. And Claire, you've also played your part in plenty of women's cricket matches over the years. Obviously, you were the first female umpire for a WBBL match, and you were on the field for the WBBL 06 final this year. Is that something you've enjoyed, seeing the women's game go from strength to strength over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think it really shows that when you invest in something, how the quality will change. And that's anything. It's not just women's cricket. It's anything in general. And I think it was 2016 when the New South Wales Breakers became fully professional team from contract wise. In fact, we might need a fact checker on that, but it was about then. And it just showed that if you invest in something, it'll grow. And I think it's just fantastic to see. I mean, the fielding is fantastic. The girls hit the stumps so many more times than the boys do. And it's just fantastic to watch, really. It's cricket. And to watch at the WBBL games where we can have had, or in the past we've had crowds watching, to see little boys and little girls watching the game is really special. And there's been umpires who have younger kids, and or boys, and they just watch whatever cricket's on TV. They don't care what it is. And I think it's important for them to see it's just cricket. It's just a sport for everybody.
And have you seen that shift also come just in the way the contribution of women is valued in all areas of the game, not just players and officials, but coaches, administrators and everything else?
Yeah, and I think it's definitely growing. I mean, even just was it just the other day where Cricket New South Wales have announced the female coaching internship. So providing more opportunities there. I think about creating an awareness that it's possible is important. There's a female who's umpiring. It might be her fourth season with me. Her fourth season umpiring. And she was one of my, when I first started my role at Cricket New South Wales, one of the first recruits, I guess, for want of a better word. And when she first started, she actually said to me, I've always wanted to be an umpire, but I've never known how to do it, or I've never known how to become one. And so I think it's just about, you know, in any aspect, if it's coaching or admin or umpiring, it's just about showing that it's possible and creating that awareness. And people who are interested will come along. I mean, we're, what are we, 51 or 49% of the population? And there'll be a lot of people out there that like cricket or, you know, and being involved that way as well.
Yeah, so you've mentioned your role at Cricket New South Wales as is it female engagement officer for umpires?
Yeah, so it's umpire educator stroke female umpire. So it's I look at both the community officiating, so that's the one for like mums and dads or teachers, you know, people taking their step into umpiring, and then also trying to engage with some more females and get them on the park as quickly and as well supported as we possibly can.
Nice. And what sort of work goes into getting people into umpiring?
Yeah, so we have we've got two training courses. So the community one, as I just mentioned, and then we've also got a level two course, and that one is the one that goes over 5 nights. And so we'll run that with an assessment task, and then following that, we'll have a field craft and technique session, and then we'll go through some videos and show them some good technique and some not so good technique. And then when we do get them on the field, we always, it doesn't matter if they're male or female, beginner umpires, we get them on field with an experienced umpire who is going to show them the good things. They're going to, you know, be supportive, and they're going to show them good field craft as well. And we also have a team of on-field and off-field observers in Sydney, and they'll provide some feedback to those umpires after the day's play as well.
That's really cool. And if you were making a pitch to girls for why they should get into umpiring, what would you tell them?
Why not? I think it's just one of those, there's so many players that play cricket, and if you're not going to play for Australia, because that's only a small number, umpiring is another fantastic way to stay involved in the game that you love. It is, as cliched as it sounds, it is the best seat in the house, and you get to see fantastic events happen, like the last year against Sri Lanka when Alyssa Healy scored, I think it was 140 something, very, very quickly at North Sydney. That was just fantastic to watch. Now being involved in the matches at the moment, it's just, there's so many aspects to it, and it's great to be involved in the environment. And then we've also got, you know, the transferable skills that I always try and punch in there, that, you know, if you work on this, then you can transfer it to other aspects of life as well. So, and really just give it a go, because you might be umming and ahhing about it, but you don't know until you try, really.
It's a pretty good pitch. And you mentioned how good it was to be in the front row for Healy's 148. And I'm sure you've travelled overseas and you've had some incredible experiences. What are some of the favourite experiences that you've had around the world through umpiring?
Can I talk about an experience? It's not while I was umpiring, but I was overseas for umpiring, if that
of
makes
course.
Sense.
Sure.
So it's off field, but it was when we were in India in 2016 for the Women's World Cup there. And we're in Dharamsala, which is the ground with the Himalayan mountains in the background. And the Dalai Lama lives in there as well. And so we were told, We asked if it would be possible. We'd heard the Dalai Lama was out away. So we asked if we could go up and have a look at the palace and have a look around. And then we're like, yep, no worries. And then we got a phone call back through our security, and how things work in India, I don't know, but our security guard knew someone who knew somebody who knew something else. And so they said, well, if you get up early, then you'll be able to meet the Dalai Lama. And we're like, we'll be up early. We will be coming to that. So it was quite a bizarre experience. There was myself, our umpiring team, and then the Indian women's team and the England women's team. And so we're all sort of led up around a path, and then the Dalai Lama came out and he said a few words, and then we all went along and shook his hand and was blessed by him, I guess, for want of a, for want of a better word. And that was just, I was standing with Simon Fry, who is he's another Australian umpire, and we're like, this is surreal. It's just insane to think that because of cricket and because of umpiring, we are meeting the Dalai Lama. So that's just probably, when I can't think of my highlight, that would be that, because it's just something that would just never happen. If you're there as a tourist, it's something that's
really you'd never think that those two would sort of collide, but there you go.
Absolutely not.
And what's the coolest place you've been to?
Oh, the coolest place I've been to. I don't know, Laura. I mean, we've been to, oh, that's a tricky question. I'm glad you can edit this. I'm really sorry to add to it. The coolest place, I mean, India was definitely an eye opener. But I mean, even in 2017, we went to Samoa for the East Asia Pacific World Cup qualifier. So that was probably the most, it was beautiful, and probably one of the places where I wouldn't have thought we'd be going for cricket. So that would potentially be if I had to pick the coolest place, or the one place I wouldn't have expected to go to, I think we'd have to put that one down there.
Claire, you've had so many experiences through umpiring, and you've definitely told the Scoop listeners why they should get into umpiring. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on, and I'm sure our listeners will love listening to you and hopefully jump into the programs.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Thank you very much for having me.
Healy's away, Australia away. Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanning.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Jonathan strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux, catches taken.